want to supplement your coverage, we can do that. If you want to replace your current coverage, all the better. Hey, you seem like a nice guy.
Oh, he's not that nice.
That's true.
I'm very true.
Okay, shut up. I can't.
Have you decided?
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back. I want garlic bread, toasted, not burnt. If it comes burnt, I will send it back.
Okay, then. And for you, sir?
I will have the gabagool.
What?
The gabagool.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Nicolais here with you once again. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick and Nick Zoraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Apologies for the voice. I am probably getting over a cold. I've spent all day traveling. I am still hungover from my brother-in-law's wedding, which was amazing. And we are here to talk about the Giants losing a game that was great for the tank and awful for social media narratives. So we're going to talk about all of it. The good, the bad, the ugly, the future. And yeah, what's up, guys? How's everyone doing? Weiss, you look super distracted.
Sorry, I was just looking at the stat sheet. Not doing so good. These embarrassing moments just continue to pop back up for the Giants, and it popped back up today. But yeah, we'll discuss. Where do you guys want to start? Because
I don't know. I really don't.
I have an idea for this first part of this conversation, because I think it's the most ridiculous point I've seen. Nick. The most ridiculous point coming out of today is, how could the Giants send the quarterback into the game they didn't trust to throw the ball? Which is ridiculous, because any team in the league that is down to their practice squad quarterback who has never played in the NFL before is not going to let their quarterback do anything. This Correct. Is pure stupidity.
I think Weiss is going to disagree with you. Yeah, go ahead.
So for the last 3 weeks, Tommy DeVito has been their backup quarterback. He's also their developmental quarterback.
No, he's not.
He is their development. He's the
no,
guy
he's not.
That they
he's
kept
a warm body.
He's the
he's
guy.
He's a local kid, UDFA, who did the bare minimum to win a practice squad roster spot.
Okay, so he's been there the entire summer and spring. He's the guy they brought in after the draft. He's the guy that developmental quarterback doesn't mean he's going to be your franchise quarterback one day. It means that they're trying to develop him into being a cheap backup for their team. You know,
and the odds of that happening are incredibly slim.
Okay, you don't want to call him a developmental quarterback. The fact of the matter is, he's been there since the spring with those coaches. And for the last 3 weeks, he's been their quarterback too. Everybody knows Daniel Jones was not coming back. It wasn't a day-to-day injury. It's a week-to-week thing. And Tommy DeVito was their backup quarterback for the last 3 weeks. Tyrod Taylor is an injury-prone quarterback. We know that. The moment Daniel Jones got hurt, how many of us thought that Tyrod Taylor would be able to survive behind the Giants offensive line, even if it marginally improved? None of us, right? We all knew inevitably Tyrod Taylor was going to suffer some sort of injury. The point being, you need to have Tommy DeVito prepared, not to go out there and win you a game or even, you know, make some great throws, but to throw a ball. And an entire half, they simply did not throw the ball for a guy who's been their backup quarterback for 2 weeks. 3 weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. None of that matters.
It does matter because that's important when you talk about coaching, is you have to be able to be prepared with an expected proactive, not reactive.
No, how listen, can a guy it, no, no, okay. no. Okay, my turn. Your starting quarterback goes down. How many teams in the NFL are saying, okay, our season is definitely not over. Our backup is capable.
Like, Ethan, this is one of them. This is a 3 week thing where he's in the backup.
The guy is a camp body. It's a feel good story for a practice squad player. He wasn't even good enough to get first team reps in practice. He didn't even run the scout team.
That's not how practice works. Practice doesn't work like that. He is their backup.
Give a guy some first team reps because you just laid out the argument for it. Tyrod Taylor is an injury prone quarterback. You know, Daniel Jones isn't coming back. The guy's not good enough to get any first team reps, and he's not even good enough to get all the practice squad reps. Backup quarterback.
Tyrod Taylor never gets first team reps in practice. When Daniel Jones is healthy, the point is, see,
he didn't even run the scout team. That's awful.
That's a problem. That is it. Okay,
of course.
So if he's awful,
who would you have preferred? Who would you have preferred them go out there?
They worked out Matt Barkley and Ian Book 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Ian Book, I'm good. Ian Book, I saw enough of as the Saints and Notre Dame quarterback.
Matt Barkley. Somebody that you – listen, I'm not sitting here saying that Tommy DeVito – why did Tommy DeVito not throw, for 100 yards, 200 yards, throw a touchdown pass? Why did he not make this throw, that throw? We're not arguing that. We're talking about the Giants having a quarterback on their roster, albeit a practice squad guy, a body guy, whatever you want to call it, since the spring. And it's October, the end of October. And for the last 3 weeks, that same guy was your backup quarterback. And you had no confidence in him to throw a football in a game.
Matt Barkley is not winning that game if he throws two passes. You keep going to winning.
I'm not talking about that. My point is they didn't trust him to throw a football.
And what is the objective of throwing the football? To win a game that is 10-7.
I don't understand what you're asking me. I'm telling you.
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you that this entire thing is completely overblown. The Giants are not going. Yes, it is. The Giants were not going anywhere.
The fundamental problem.
It's overblown. The Giants were not going anywhere with Daniel Jones.
We're not talking about big picture. We're talking about the coaching staff decisions in this game and the roster decisions that were made. They knew that Tyrod Taylor was their quarterback when Daniel Jones got hurt. They knew he was their quarterback for the foreseeable future, their starting quarterback. Foreseeable future, meaning 3 weeks, 4 weeks, however long he's out for. During that time span, they also knew that Tyrod Taylor is prone to getting hurt. Everybody knew it. Everybody said it was only a matter of time before Tyrod takes a hit. Shit, he took a hit in that game that he came in for Daniel Jones against the Dolphins, and we thought he got hurt in that game. So you know that, and you still don't prepare yourself for a situation where, shit, if Tyrod gets hurt, let me at least have a quarterback in there that I can trust to throw a ball one time an entire half. Because Tommy DeVito wasn't that. That's my point. That is coaching malpractice. I understand big picture, losing games, high draft pick. I get all that. But when you talk about building a roster, when you talk about coaching decisions and development and this and that and blah, 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 for them not to be prepared for this, that's coaching malpractice. And if this was... Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. What I was going to say to your point, and I think they don't want to give any snaps to Tommy DeVito in practice because Tyrod needs every single one he can get. That's the reason he looked wholly unprepared and unable to be in there today. I get your point, Weiss, that if you have a guy this long, you have to have something he can do moderately well. That I understand. But at the end, I don't want to say at the end of the day, against a good Jets defense, the Jets defense was really good in this game. There's no arguing about that. You do not want to put the ball in jeopardy when you feel like you could win the rock fight. That was kind of the point I think that I came away from this game was they felt they could win this game with defense and their special teams. And they came pretty damn close, in all honesty.
This game with special teams?
100%.
They did. They said, we're going to win this game with Graham Gano kicking this field goal right now. They said, we trust our special teams.
Literally Murphy's Law. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong for the Giants. And if one of the 10 things, how many times have we spoken about shit just going wrong for the Giants, where if one thing goes the other way, like we're just praising Dable. If Graham Gano hits one extra point or one field goal, we're praising Dable for winning a game with fucking Tyrod Taylor and Tommy DeVito against a top five defense.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
All my thing is, guys, and again, I'm not sitting here expecting Tommy DeVito to come in and have this magical moment. But if you have a guy on your roster throughout the spring, the summer, you're developing him, he's with your coaching staff, and you don't trust the guy to throw one pass when he's been your backup quarterback for 3 weeks?
No, not against the Jets in a one score game.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the Chicago Bears, they're probably letting Tommy.
And then in overtime, you throw the ball three, like those swing passes, those running back screens. Why not try one during the game? Why not try one in regulation?
Because they were winning until 24 seconds left. Why are you going to air the ball out against an elite defense when what you're doing was working?
It's not airing it out. It's those swing passes that they ran in overtime.
Did you watch Tyson, whatever the fuck his name was for the Bears tonight? Dude had multiple interceptions and like three more that should have been interceptions. It's why you don't let UDFA quarterbacks throw the ball against an elite defense, let alone the Chargers. Talk about these fucking Jets.
Okay, so Tommy DeVito can throw an NFL football. Why is he
against an elite defense? No shot.
Why was he their
backup game?
Why was he their backup quarterback for the past 3 weeks?
Because the Giants have it already. The Giants already had a fairly expensive backup. They're not just going to go keep going down the rabbit hole of Matt Barkley's to win one more game this season. It's been over.
I think that's the other point, is it's over. There's no point in bringing someone else in because they know they're not going to be able to do a lot with this group. They're still trying to win with what they have.
100%. And listen, kudos to Dable. How many times earlier in the season did I say this could very easily get out of control? He could lose the locker room. The defense is going to be pissed off that Daniel Jones sucks. It hasn't happened. The defense is playing their fucking balls off, especially the last 3 weeks. Like this team has not quit on him. Despite the fact they don't have a quarterback, they haven't had competent offensive line play, despite special teams being a disaster, and despite Dable himself having a number of coaching gaffes.
So if they're not, so what you're saying is the Giants are not trying to win games, or they're not, this season is over.
No, they're trying to win games, but they're not going to go out of their way to cap strap themselves for 2024.
Matt Barkley doesn't cap strap you.
Doesn't matter.
Practice squad guy you bring in.
Doesn't matter. He doesn't make a difference. You go and you bring in difference makers. Unless you really need a fucking body.
The difference maker, you don't find difference makers on the street in October. We're talking about a situation where
Matt Barkley's on the street in October.
Yes, he's not a difference maker. But at least
none of these guys are. What is the point? What is the point of bringing in Matt
Barkley? The point is they're trying to win games. They're going around telling players
Matt Barkley does not give you wins.
We're not saying Matt Barkley himself doesn't win you games. We're comparing the situation where Tommy DeVito, they had zero confidence in Tommy DeVito to do
anything. Matt Barkley throws three passes this game.
Okay, he does. You know what? And you know what? If one of those passes gets you a first down, guess what? The Giants win this game.
Graham Gano hits one of the three field goals he misses. The Giants.
That's a whole other conversation we can have.
Ryan Dable runs the ball. Ryan Dable runs the ball and gets a yard. They win the game.
If you want to talk about malpractice,
Giants defense stops Zach Wilson. The one drive he decides to fucking throw the ball. Like defense, we could play the what if game 11, for the 11 entire points fucking per game.
11. You told the they've been holding teams to 11 points per game over the last 3 weeks. Come on, get a quarterback in there that you trust to throw one pass. That's all I'm asking.
Does not exist against the top five unit. Matt Barkley, Ian Book, fucking Tyson Bargent, Weiss, and Nick. You put any of them back there, Brian Daboll is not throwing the ball. When he's
that is coaching malpractice.
No, it's not. His plan, no. With this offensive line against the top five defense, with the backup quarterback and the backup's backup in the game, to be up three with 24 seconds left, there were a million other things that you could say lost in that game. The quarterback not throwing the ball is not one of them. I'm sorry. None of these guys are coming into the game to air it out against fucking Sauce Gardner and a defensive line that's
the Jets got into field
goal. Aaron is throwing the ball. Stop trying to twist my words. I'm not saying he's got to go throw it 30 fucking times. They are not going to let any of these bozos throw it even twice. When they're up three late in the fourth quarter against an elite defensive unit. Listen, we've been making fun of Dable all season for lying. He said as much in the press conference. He said, listen, it was the plan with Tyrod. It was going to be the plan with DeVito. We were trying to win an ugly game. We knew it was going to be close in the fourth quarter. He said that.
Look, we'll just agree to disagree, but my whole point is simply this, man. You put a guy on your roster, you spend an entire spring, summer with him, you have him on your practice squad half the season. He's been your backup quarterback for a month now, and you are not confident with him throwing one ball. I find that, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's my opinion.
Yeah.
The Jets threw the ball one time downfield, and they got a pass interference penalty. Sometimes you just go with, you can throw the ball deep just to see if you can get a penalty. I mean, the Jets committed their fair share of penalties. So
yeah, sure. Or Sauce Gardner picks you off and changes the entire course of the game. So, sorry. You're just not going to find me caring much about Tommy DeVito. Like, the season's fucking over. It's the big picture. We're talking big picture.
I'm with you. The season's been over for weeks.
I don't give a fuck if it's Tommy DeVito. I don't care if it's two-time Tommy taking snaps behind the offensive line. It doesn't matter. The Giants, after a devastating loss, are now third overall.
I understand what you're saying.
And that's amazing.
Denver won. And Denver.
But my point is, when you're trying to win games, like they are trying to win games.
No, I'm doing air quotes right now. They're trying to win games.
Actually, they're not. They're not. That's the air quote. They are trying to win games because they're telling players that they have no intent of trading them, and they seem to still have this, you know, mindset of, hey, we're going to turn this thing around. So,
no, it's. I mean, It's a PR.
We'll talk about the trade deadline.
It's all PR.
But that's my take on the quarterback, man.
They know it's over. Joe Shane knows it's over.
Okay, we'll find out Tuesday 4 o'clock how much they think it's over. Go ahead, Nick. You structure this podcast. So what do you want to talk about next? You want to talk about another malpractice with Graham Gano?
That's, I think, the other main point. They couldn't have him out there today. The weather, what it was, the condition he was in, you can't have him out there. I know you don't carry a second kicker, but after the second miss, I think at that point you got to say, we don't have a kicking team anymore. We do not have the choice to kick field goals anymore. I think that's the only solution there.
You punt the ball or you go for it on fourth and short. It's
fourth
that
and one, fourth and one from the 29-yard line, kick a field goal, miss. Fourth and one from, I don't know where they were at the end of that game. I don't know, maybe give the ball to Barkley again. They're not a good run defense. If you can't get a yard, they get the ball.
Dude, punt the ball. My God. Like, pin Zach Wilson in his own five.
No. The both times they're at the 29 the first time, fourth and one, they kick a field goal, miss.
I get it.
Second time they're at the 16-yard line.
I agree with you. My point is, if Dable is so not confident in his team to pick up a yard, fucking pooch punt it. Like,
or if just you really go for it. I mean, how do you get a pooch punt from the 19-yard line?
I agree with you. But, like, listen, Zach Wilson is not driving 90 yards on you. He's just not.
I agree with you.
To be clear, I agree with you. Like, you go for it. But if Dable was so not confident in his unit to get that yard, and he was insistent on using his awful special teams unit, bro, just fucking pin him inside this 10, inside his 5. Game over.
I just see a lot of coaching malpractice coming out of this staff. And I'm not, there's always people that are like on one side of the extreme or the other. I think there's a middle ground. I think it's okay to criticize the coaching staff. What some of the decision-making this year, specifically today, both, you know, clock management, in-game situations, the past couple weeks, it's been a lot of head scratching decisions by Brian Daboll, and today really was eye popping of how bad I thought the coaching was, because at the end of the day they are trying to win games. I get the big picture. I get what you're saying, Ethan. Top 5 pick. What are they, number 3 now? Is that still number 3 with the Bears loss? Bears loss. I'm as happy as you are with that, and I hope we can get to 1, but. Moments
realistically,
like this,
they just need to stay at 3.
I know. I would like to be 1. Why not be on the clock?
Listen, I would love to be number 1. I'm just saying, like, if we're talking realistically here, like, 3rd overall is a great spot to be.
Oh, yeah.
Assuming the Bears own the 1st and the 2nd.
But, yeah.
I mean, listen, the coaching stuff, it's really, really simple.
It's concerning to me.
It's really simple. Do you think that Brian Daboll is a good coach?
I think Brian Daboll is a good coach, yes.
Okay.
I still have faith
in Brian Daboll is a good coach who has made some head-scratching coaching decisions. Absolutely. It's like if Nicky Snacks goes to a game and he gets belligerently drunk and he tries to fight someone in the stands, he gets kicked out. Nicky Snacks is not a bad person. He just might have done a bad thing.
Yes.
Okay? Brian Daboll is not a bad coach.
No.
He is just doing some questionable things.
Just deserve some criticism over the last couple weeks.
There you go. 4 weeks, it's whatever. That simple.
I have a question off of that. We agree that these are bad decisions. Can you understand what he is trying to do in said decisions that don't make sense? Like, at the very least, even if you disagree with them, can you understand why he's making them?
Yes. Analytically, them getting that 1 yard to try to end the game was allegedly the same as them going up 6 and giving the Jets the ball back with 20 seconds left on the clock. However, you have to take into account fucking feel of the game here for a second, not to, you know, go all boomer. But if your kicker sucks and he's injured and he just admitted after the game he needs surgery, you know, go for it. Don't kick the field goal. I have to, like, assume that there have been conversations between Gano and Dable and the special teams coach, whose name I still will not say on this podcast, that Gano was insisting that, you know, despite his leg hurting, he could still plant, he could still kick. Like, he must have been hitting them in practice. I don't know what the pregame reports were. I was in going through the TSA line at Hartsfield Jackson, which is the worst airport I've ever been to.
They weren't encouraging. The pregame reports weren't encouraging.
But was he just shanking them, or was he just missing in bad weather from 50 plus?
So that one side where he missed the 47 yarder. Yeah,
I saw he missed one.
Yeah, that one, I think it was Dan Duggan tweeted out that he was struggling pregame in that direction.
So. Okay. So whatever, you know, you sometimes you trust your kicker. He probably shouldn't have.
The Graham Gano situation I put squarely on the medical staff. If he's hurt,
I agree.
Why is he out there? The issue I have with Dable is, my man, you're an aggressive guy. Fourth and one, go for the win. Because, you know, the other aspect of it is that they're going to kick the ball back to the, let's say he makes the field goal. They're going to kick the ball back to the Jets. The Giants special teams hasn't exactly done things that are, you know, we've seen them do some stupid things. So,
sure, but whatever. You know, you get a fucking touchback and you're still making them go 80 yards.
When it was fourth and one, 19, whatever seconds, 24 seconds, however much was left, I was like, give the ball to Saquon, fourth and one. If he gets stuffed, they get the ball. So what?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, again, not to say I wouldn't have done it, because there's just certain points where, like, you just have to have the confidence where you're basically telegraphing to your opponent, like, this is what I'm going to do to you, and you're just going to take it. It is much easier to go for those fourth and shorts when you have a quarterback with the threat of using his legs. Just saying.
Okay, that's fine.
Listen, like, they didn't want Tommy DeVito to throw the ball. There was no play action threat.
Oh, fourth and one, I'm just giving the ball to Barkley.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. With Daniel Jones, at least, there's the option of play action. You could do a tush push. Like, you're not doing that with Tommy DeVito.
DeVito did have a touchdown run in that game off of RPO.
Yeah.
Just saying.
That was not fourth and one with heavy.
But it wasn't just that. To me, I was just as angry as the decision to kick the 47-yarder. I still would have gone for it, fourth and one.
Whatever.
But look, I didn't think Dable had his best day. And I don't think he's had his best couple of weeks.
No.
I think he's doing everything he can to keep this season on the track so the guys who are playing don't give up, because he knows that that's very much on the table, that they lose a couple games ugly and guys are just going to stop trying. So he's doing everything he can to keep.
I mean, they've already lost. I mean, well, this is the Bills game.
You consider it now off the tracks? Like,
I mean, they didn't lose terribly. Like, they didn't get embarrassed. Like, they didn't get blown out. That's what I mean. They were in this game. Sure. They had a chance to win. I think that's the goal. They want to be in these games so that these guys aren't checked out by Thanksgiving weekend, because there's still a lot of games to be played. And the team and the ownership care about appearances. They don't want to just, you know, phone it in the rest of the season.
That's the problem with this team right now.
Yes, they do not want it to be. They don't want it to be 45,000 Eagles fans here week 18 celebrating they won the NFC East, which it's going to be, but they don't want that.
I mean, dude, the Giants are 10-7. That's what's going to happen in MetLife.
What you're saying, and I'm not saying you're wrong, is, but what you're essentially saying is the Giants are chasing a respectable losing record.
Yes.
That is the Giants ethos. That is what John Mara cares more about, respect than winning. This has always been his MO.
They're chasing a respectable 6-11 record.
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
Yes. That is exactly what John Mara
and they've wants poisoned the minds and they've poisoned the minds of fans to want to win enough games to have a 6-11 record.
Correct. The amount of replies I saw on Twitter today to people being like, well, at least this is good for the draft position, and people being like, I'm tired of losing, I don't care about draft position anymore. Great. You won a meaningless football game in November against a bad team. That's great. You had a good Sunday afternoon. Would you like to win anything before the sun burns out? Would you like to win one more Super Bowl before you die? I know I would.
Yeah.
By the way, I just checked Tankathon. The Giants are actually fourth now.
Because with the Bears loss?
Yeah. How did that happen?
Because Arizona lose too, and then Arizona's in front of the Giants, I think.
Now Arizona has the number one pick, just because they haven't had a bye. They're 1-7. Carolina is at 1-6. Chicago 2-6. The Giants 2-6 too.
That sucks, man. We need Kyler back.
He's coming next two, 3 weeks probably.
Yeah, Justin Fields back too. After watching was it Tyson Bagels? What's his name? Tyson Bagels.
Tyson Bagels. Well. I love it. Yeah, might as well. Yeah. I don't know what his name is.
You want to talk trade deadline? Because that has been sure. emotional too. You know, you talk, it's over, it's this and that, the writing is on the wall. Why are you going up to Saquon Barkley? First of all,
because he's sensitive and they need to manage his ego.
I feel bad for Barkley. I do. Let me tell you why.
Oh, number boy, one, here we go.
Number one, they didn't want to pay him. It was obvious they didn't want to pay him.
Rightfully so.
They told him, you're not Christian McCaffrey. They literally told him, you are not Christian McCaffrey. And he admitted that they told him that. What, do they compare him to Nick Chubb or something? Which is not a bad comparison, but that's what they compared him to. A lot of people say now, that's not me, but it was reported throughout the negotiating process that they weren't really negotiating with good faith, right? They were trying to make a semi-respectable offer, but Saquon was never going to get that, you know, $14 million a year. He was never going to get that. It was a lot of fluff with the contract, and ultimately they didn't get it done, and he showed up, whatever. I don't understand what has changed over the last 8 weeks that makes the Giants now want to say, we want to keep Barkley. We want to give him a long-term deal. Because if you franchise tag him again for the second time, at that point, it's just, you're just creating a toxic thing. So what exactly are we doing with Barkley?
You want to know what I think they're doing with Barkley? There's really only one explanation. And that explanation is that they've had some pillow talk, some side conversations that are like, look, 27, you've been banged up again. Your agents royally fucked you by advising you not to take our initial offer. And now the running back market is completely depressed. You're
might be back after the Jonathan Taylor.
No, it's not. It's not, especially for a 27-year-old. So you missed your opportunity. Bitcoin's in the toilet, but you're in New York. It's the best market. We're all for you, like a couple of years, reduced salary. We won't trade you because we value you more than probably the third or fourth round pick that we're going to get back at the trade deadline. And we hope you've learned your lesson and you take what we're going to offer you this offseason. And, you know, you're happy. We're happy. We sell jerseys. You're back at a cap hit that's not going to cripple us. And we can just live happily ever after. Because if that's not what's happened, then Joe Shane not trading him at the deadline is, I don't want to call it a fireable offense because I think that's a bit hyperbolic, but it is unserious. In a league filled with GMs who you look around, I mean, the Titans are not moving Derrick Henry. Are you fucking kidding me? Like,
that was funny when I saw that. Although I don't know if that's Jay Glazer sort of was like, I don't know if that's all true.
But it doesn't matter. It's like, bro, if you have a running back in a contract year and your team is, you trade him to a stupid team who's willing to overpay you. It's so simple. It really is. And if, you know, we don't hit free agency and Barkley's not extended for like 2 years, $7 million or whatever, you know, seven a year. Two years, $7 million a year, some sweetheart type deal.
He's getting at least 10, unfortunately. He's going to get
not getting with the Giants.
I'll take
he's not getting with the Giants.
I think the Giants are so there are two thoughts in my brain. I agree with you, Ethan, that if they don't have something lined up to do after the season, not trading him is mind-numbingly stupid. It's caring more about appearances than good football, which is, we know something the Giants are invested in is, well, we want to do right by this guy. He says all he wants to do is be a Giant. He says all the right things. He's our most popular player. He sells the most jerseys, whatever. And then the other part of my brain is, this is not a well-run organization. They are going to care too much about the narratives and they are going to take care of him in spite of the fact the diminishing returns will continue into his late 20s and 30s, God forbid, if he's still on the team, but they don't care. They would rather have a marketable player because again, it's similar to the team winning stuff. Whenever you go in the replies of any person who does Giant stuff, it's, well, he's our only good player. If we get rid of him, what are we going to do? And they're
not that your only good player, by the way.
I completely agree with you. I completely agree. I think the three of us are in agreement about the impact of running backs and the system they run in and
they don't have
the
to environment be a dead they horse. Operate. Yeah,
exactly. We're all in agreement there. But there are so many people who would rather have the shiny object. They're like a cat with a laser pointer. They see the special talent. He says all the right things. He makes them feel good about being a Giant fan, and they don't care about winning. They don't care that all evidence points to running backs aging poorly and decreasing their production as they get older. They would rather have the shiny object because it makes them feel good rather than actually exploring why they feel that way. That's the Giant fans who don't want to blow it up, who would like to keep Barkley, they're not thinking about winning. They're thinking about their feelings, and there's a difference.
Because I'm watching this game, and we're thinking, okay, we're going to win this game, right? The Jets can't do anything. But I'm watching them just hand the ball off to Barkley. I'm just thinking to myself, what are we doing here? Like, even with Tyrod going to be out now for an extended, and I hope he's okay. I know the Giant statement didn't sound too good, still in the hospital. Who knows when Daniel's going to come back? They keep, every week, it just seems like the return date gets pushed back. But by all, you know, assumptions, it's going to be the Tommy DeVito show going forward for at least another week. What you're just going to give Barkley the ball 30 times a game?
Yeah.
We're just going to run him into the ground again?
Yeah. Good.
That is 100% the plan right
He's
now.
He's a running back 100%. In a contract year who's 27 years old. That's exactly what you do.
And I'm watching him. I'm like, this is dumb. Go put, I don't think Barkley is a Christian McCaffrey type player, but I think if you put him in the right system, he could have similar success to what Christian McCaffrey has done in San Francisco. Like, you put him in Baltimore.
No.
I truly think he can have, he can be a
very McCaffrey good is back. Generational. I agree he would be better. He is not putting up CMC numbers. But he doesn't have the durability.
No. I'm not talking about when you talk about as an offense, how CMC raised the ceiling for the San Francisco offense, right? I think Barkley can do that for a really good offense.
I don't think he's efficient enough, but I don't, whatever. I don't, where is this argument going?
No, my argument is I'm just watching him like, this guy, we're just wasting this guy's career here. Like, what is this?
That's why he shouldn't want to stay. I don't understand.
Dude. Giants wasted Odell Beckham. Like,
I mean, at least when they traded Odell, they got, you know,
big debt.
You know, I don't know, man. I just watching this, I'm like, what? And then I think about, they told him we're not trading you. What are we doing here? You owe it to yourself to see what you can get for him.
I just hope that that's like
posturing.
Joe Shane playing games. It's like, you know, he's basically negging every single GM in the league. Like, what do you mean I can't have Barkley? Even for a second, Joe?
I hope, but I just think
you'd be lucky to get a four. In all honesty, I think you'd be lucky to get a four.
I agree.
That's why I don't think
there's a lot of teams that are looking for a running back right now. I truly think you can get maybe not a two, but you can get a three and, you know, a five, something like that. No, I do think there are teams that are.
I could maybe see like a third, and it's a good team. It's going to be a late third.
Yeah, like a three and a five. I could definitely see that. Definitely see something like that.
What are we getting for it?
Baltimore,
I kind of see an argument, but they've been doing the Fugazi running back by committee thing for so long now. It doesn't really matter who they put back there.
The thing is, if you look at the NFL specific, we'll talk about the AFC, but the NFL as a whole, it's really wide open. Like, I know Philly's 6-1, and they're probably presumptive favorites right now. But you look at the AFC, man, Kansas City doesn't look like Kansas City right now. You know, Jacksonville has the best record in that conference. Baltimore's sitting there at, you know, 6-2. I mean, it's right there. You add a guy like Barkley to your offense, and to me, that is potentially, it could put you over the top. So, you know, a 3 and a 5, I think, if you think it puts you over the top, which I think it does for Baltimore, why not make the call? Why not try to be aggressive? That's just my thing on it.
That's fair. I agree with you in that respect. Baltimore should. This is a good chance for them. This is the best chance they've had in quite a while. If they keep Lamar healthy.
Great offensive line. Lamar Jackson's playing really well. They got a great defense. Get to December.
Reunite Barkley and Odell.
Yeah. Why not?
What about Leo? Leo and Adoree.
Yes. Adoree to Buffalo just seems like it needs to happen at this point.
Right? I'd say you package both him and Leo to fucking Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo just lost an interior guy a couple weeks ago.
Yes. I forget his name. Daquan Jones, I think that's his
Something
name.
Something like that. Yeah. Daquan Jones.
Yes. Yeah. It just seems like that makes the most sense, right? But I don't know. I think Bean and Shane have good relationships, but the Dayball and did you guys see the Dayball?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But yeah, Dory, it just makes so much sense for the Bills to throw a late round pick for Dory, just for the Giants to shed salary. And then the Leo thing, I think they would have to eat some of that salary, but yeah.
It's fine by me. Give me a good enough pick. I'll eat whatever you want, baby.
I actually think Leo's value might be a little bit higher if the Giants are if the Giants eat some of his salary.
Or of course, depending on of course.
How much that, because I think he there's a lot of teams that value in the interior defensive lineman who can also rush the passer. And I think Leonard, like I think a team like Detroit, perfect for Leonard Williams.
Dan Campbell type of guy.
Yeah. I mean, talk about it with Saquon, but Baltimore is looking for some interior guys too. So there's a lot of teams that they could be in the market for an interior lineman.
When's the trade deadline tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Right before you go trick or treating, make sure you.
There you go.
See what happens. But
be out early with my daughter, first Halloween.
And guys like Paris Campbell's, Sterling Shepherd's, those pick swap guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to move some of these guys. They can't.
What about Slayton?
That's another guy, too. I do think Slayton's contract is movable. It's friendly. He's sort of been buried. I mean,
I was going to say, he hasn't played a lot.
Yeah. Pick swap.
Yeah. Pick swap, maybe a late sixth, seventh. I don't know. Yeah. I'm with you. Look, if you're planning on playing Tommy DeVito and don't want him throwing the ball, what's the point of having all these receivers, right?
They should have ran the wing T today. Bro, they should be
selling every single person they can.
I'm with
within reason, obviously. I'm not talking about Andrew Thomas or Dexter Lawrence.
Except Kayvon Thibodeau.
Sure.
We're not trading that guy.
We're not.
That guy is
it's beating the allegations one game at a time.
Oh, those allegations are long gone. They're long gone, my man.
I don't even remember him being run blocked by a tight end.
Well, listen, it was a tough start to the season.
It was. But he's picked it
Kayvon,
up.
Kayvon has picked it up. He was supposed to be his game, man. There was a lot of
dude. He might be like the first wink guy to have double digit sacks.
That's crazy.
He was great today.
Yeah,
he was great today.
Dude, the double move he put on Becton on that final sack of Zach Wilson was insane. Dexter and also Lawrence just like the worst quarterback awareness of any quarterback I've ever seen. But the double move was nuts.
Well, Zach Wilson's a huge sack of shit. I mean, the Jets. Every time I see Zach Wilson drop back, you know, remember Brandon Tierney? Well, I shouldn't say his name. But do you remember that WFAN host who
had this
bizarre rant about rallying behind Zach Wilson? Yeah. And then you actually watch Zach Wilson. He's just a sack of shit. And you're like,
no, come on, dude. The whole nine. I think everyone except for you was behind Zach Wilson after that Chiefs game.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. A lot of people were behind Wilson.
I hope they weren't behind him.
They were. You're just not paying attention.
The worst thing you can do is like crown the Jets and after a loss.
The Jets and the Giants are like in like a Freaky Friday type situation here. Like losing their starting quarterbacks. And just having to win rock fights. And the Jets are winning some rock fights. They're keeping it, they've beaten good teams, keeping it close against all of them pretty much. Meanwhile, the Giants are just like losing these rock fights in devastating fashion.
It was always going to come back around, man. We talked about it all of the offseason.
Yeah. Listen, I just didn't think the pendulum would swing so hard in the other direction because this is the direction it's been for six of the last 7 years.
Lamar's not throwing freebie interceptions. Aaron Rodgers isn't forgetting how to throw forward passes. You know, it comes back around. The teams that win all those one score games, look at the Vikings. The Vikings somehow won today after Kirk probably tore his Achilles.
Confirmed, you
could take the probably out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's confirmed.
I mean, Schefter confirmed it before he got the MRI.
Well, I saw a clip on it, how they can tell right away. Like
the same thing with ACL, they can do some tests.
Yeah, well, no, what they do is like they hit your calf, and if your knee doesn't, your foot doesn't do something, then you know it's torn.
Yeah,
it's like some weird thing I saw on TikTok.
No, same thing with ACL. So you do like the mobility of the knee, and you're like,
okay, there's ACL's some shit gone. That they can do maneuver your. So they knew right away. But you brought up
Arthur Smith is a sack of shit, by the way.
Oh yeah,
incarcerated. He should be incarcerated.
Yeah. Although
he should be in Gitmo. He's a terrorist.
John Robinson actually had a touchdown today. So at least he.
Yeah. The one red zone carry he got and never again.
He should be driving.
By the way, so I was in the Uber on the way to the airport in Atlanta this morning. We were talking football. So with my dad, he was wearing a Giants hoodie. And the Uber driver was saying, he said he was driving Arthur Smith's wife and kid to the Atlanta Stadium for a game one time. And he didn't know it was Arthur Smith's wife and kid. And he was talking so much shit. And then they were like, oh, no, like pull around to like this entrance. And he's like, well, that's like a special entrance for. Oh, and then Arthur Smith walks out to get his wife and kid.
I hate Arthur Smith so much.
Gave that guy a nice tip.
You want to talk about coaching malpractice? Arthur Smith, that Falcon roster is really good, man.
Refuses to use any of them.
That's why I'm happy they lost. Will Levis had a great debut, too.
He had a tight end throwing to another tight end with a wide receiver blocking.
Yeah. In the red zone after he took Bijan out of the game.
He just thinks he's so smart when he stands up there and talks about.
He's a fucking dumbass. He's a stupid mustache. And he's fat.
Son of a bitch.
He is. He really is.
All right.
What else? Any other NFL notes? Good week for the tank.
Yeah.
It was.
Denver inexplicably winning today. That was funny.
Hey, listen, real nice, dude. Sean Payton's probably furious.
If they continue playing Tommy DeVito, what are they, four now? They'll climb up.
Oh, one last thing. When do you think Jones comes back, if he comes back?
I don't think he's coming back.
I've always been post buy.
Okay,
but at this point, if they're two and
exactly,
what's exactly. The point? Right.
Yeah.
What's the point? But again, this is the Giants, right? They're chasing a respectable losing record.
I mean, if he's healthy, it's going to be tough to justify benching him. But like, you got two wins, ride it all the way to the bottom.
Oh, they'll definitely bring him back. They're chasing a respectable losing record.
Yeah.
So they're the.
And he's going to be motivated too because he knows he's on the hot seat.
They're 2-6. They got the Raiders coming up, which, by the way,
if DeVito's starting, they're losing to the Raiders.
No, the thing about the Raiders is they have embarrassing moments like this where they lose to like third string UDFA quarterbacks. Sure. Like Josh McDaniels has a history of this in Las Vegas. So I wouldn't pick the Giants to win, but it would not surprise me at all if they win next week with Tommy DeVito.
They're not winning. The Raiders. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Max Crosby might have 10 sacks.
Do not sleep on Josh McDaniels' ability to completely embarrass himself.
Speaking of the Raiders, are they going to trade Devontae?
No.
It would be fun, but I don't think so.
They should.
So the Giants got the Raiders and the Cowboys and the Commanders.
Bro, DeVito against the Cowboys. Oh, my God.
And then the Patriots. They got an easy schedule, man. It's.
They need to lose that Patriots game.
And the Packer game. Packers are 2-6, 2-5. Yeah,
Jordan Love, not that guy.
No.
I don't know. I still look at this remaining second half of the season, and I still find myself thinking they will somehow get to 5 wins.
I don't think so.
I think they get the Patriots. I think they get.
All depends on who the quarterback is.
The Packer. I think it won't be DeVito for that long. So they said that the report said that Daniel Jones could come back for the Dallas game, which.
That's a terrible idea.
Quick way to get him back on injured reserve.
That's a way to get him killed.
You want to bring him back for the Dallas game? Really? Okay. Anyways, I still think it's post-bye. So it's after the Patriot game.
That's what, 3 weeks from now?
It's right after Thanksgiving. So
okay.
They play that weekend at Thanksgiving, host the Patriots, and they have like what? 15 days off. 15 days off before they have to play the Packers on Monday night.
It'd be a nice 15 days.
Yeah. They have one of those late buys. So by then, who knows, like post buy with 5 games left. You're going to bring back Daniel Jones to chase a respectable 6 wins?
Never underestimate the Maras. That's when they will catch you by surprise.
Yep.
Hey, we might be getting free medium sodas soon.
Pepsi.
Excuse, yeah, I got to be specific. Got to shout out their sponsor.
I actually might go to that.
So bad.
I might go to that Monday night game against the Packers.
Why?
I just have to
go to
one game.
Don't waste your money.
I have to go to one game. And the Packers Giants is going to be a pretty, I think it's going to be affordable. Right?
It's affordable now.
You know what's, not affordable, Weiss? Your fucking time that it's going to take you to drive back.
Well, probably, the thing is, I'll probably spend the night
in Jersey with your cousins or whatever.
Yeah. Kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Actually, might be like 3-4 birds with 1 stone.
Yeah.
Got a lot of family there. So, yeah, I might come up for that December 11th game.
Okay.
Maybe.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Uh-huh. Wrap it up. I'm not even going to do the housekeeping. You guys know the drill. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.